This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, it is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, so smile and let's enjoy the evening together, shall we? Or morning, I guess, if it's Saturday morning and you listen the day after for you. So let's talk about the George Soroses of the world. Why is that not addressed from our government? We'll deal with that. If Trump should win, what can we expect from the other side? That's a fascinating question. Talk about that. Mike Johnson, is he better for Democrats than if they had a Democrat speaker? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show with me, Jesse, your mamala.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be mamala of the country.
All right, so let's begin, shall we? Let's begin here. Oracle, as I watch the coverage of UCLA occupation to help us all understand, how is it that no GOP AG will step up and find a link from these pro-agitators to the Soros cartel and make that old piece of filth live out the last of his days in federal prison? In the very least, shake that commie tree and see what falls out. Okay, George Soros, and people like him. Remember, we name Soros, and for good reason. He is one of the chief evil architects of so much of what we see, but he's not alone. Billionaires, foreign billionaires, fund so much communism in this country. So why is it that a Republican, a red state AG, anywhere, why have they not brought charges against this guy? Why have they not attacked this guy? Why doesn't the GOP attack the root of the problem? Like we were making fun of yesterday, they passed some stupid anti-Semitism bill trying to police what can or can't be said on a college campus. That's not attacking the root of any kind of a problem. The root is the dirty commie fundraising and organizational network that bankrolls all these things, including the colleges themselves. That's where you should go. That's the root of the problem. That's the source of the problem. Why didn't they do that? No, you passed some stupid, lame anti-Semitism bill to pretend like you're Oscar Schindler, but you didn't accomplish a daggone thing. So let's deal with this. Why? You heard of Ken Paxton? You know who Ken Paxton is? Most people across the country do not. Everyone in Texas does, but most people across the country do not. Ken Paxton, he's the AG for Texas. Well, do you remember what happened recently to Ken Paxton? Ken Paxton is squeaky clean, and I mean squeaky clean by all accounts. As far as corruption, things like that goes, he's just one of those guys who's probably too clean. Like, could you do something wrong and seem human? But he's just that type. Ken Paxton just received a brutal investigation trying to remove him from office. Not led by Democrats who don't have the power in this state, led by establishment Republicans and supported by Democrats. Why? Oh, there are all kinds of rumors as to why. One of the main ones I hear consistently is Ken Paxton decided he was going to start attacking Big Pharma for all this vaccine filth that's hurting people. He was one of the AGs who was going to start calling Big Pharma billionaires in front of him, forcing depositions and things like that. Wake up one day and they're trying to remove him from office. He ended up getting out of it scot-free because he was clean as a whistle, but they tried. They really tried. It was all over the TV. Why? Well, let's talk about what we have here in the country. And it'll sound big and ominous, but believe me, it's something we can conquer. It is. But we have to talk about what we have. I call it the system, but I haven't described that in a long time. And maybe I should go more in depth. as we have advanced along as a nation, this happens to all countries, so don't feel bad about yourself, but as you advance along as a country, we have lost our connection to who we really are as a nation, to what made us who we are. This is something nations have gone through throughout history. The Mongols. How do we stay tough? How do we stay Mongols? We conquered everything. Now we're in Chinese palaces. We're rich now. We have silk on. How do we stay tough? What do we do? We're Romans. How do we remain Romans? We're Ottomans. We're losing our way. We were a fighting people, and now we're kind of coming apart. But what was happening in the Ottoman Empire? What was happening in the Roman Empire? What was happening in Mongolia? What is happening here right now? What happens is the further you get away from your founding, whatever that founding may be, whether it's a Mongolian conquest or the American Revolution, the further you get away from that founding, the harder it is to maintain what you were and eventually forget about maintaining it. You get far enough away from your founding, you don't even remember what you were. Nobody does. You don't remember it. Now, we're talking about our founding, and you remember it, and I remember it because we talk about it all the time. What is America? What are we? No, it's not multicultural. No, it's not just anything, just floating around. America is the country where you should be free from government interference. Government is forced by law to be small and limited. The states themselves, they created the federal government. Normally throughout history, the central government, the central power, created states because they needed a governor here or someone there to maintain this. Here in this country, we're so free, the states created the federal government. That's what America is. Free from government. Limited government. That's what freedom actually means. But here we are. The year of our Lord, 2024. And what's happened throughout the years, decades, years, 200 years, right? What's happened is the people who lead the country, they no longer feel any sense of connection to what we were. And more importantly, this is going to come back to Soros. Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. More importantly, not only did they not feel any connection to what we were, they don't feel any sense of duty or obligation to maintain this place. What's a good example? You know, here's a great example of this. You ever heard of the Ford Foundation? You probably have heard of the Ford Foundation. If not, you should understand it's the gigantic, a huge communist charity arm created by, run by, the descendants of Henry Ford. Now, Henry Ford was a man like any other man with all kinds of problems. Apparently, he boozed it up pretty hard. Not a big fan of you people, Chris, but was a lion of industry and saw himself as an American patriot and built this incredible company. But you go even two or three generations removed from him, and it's like the Ford people now aren't even the same species. Forget about the same family. Not even the same species. Have you ever seen or heard of anybody in your life who started a business? Maybe he started a business from scratch and worked up and he made it great. And maybe even his son came along after him and kind of maintained it. Maybe even improved a little if he's lucky. But then the next kid comes and things aren't going quite as well. And then there were some problems and some corruption issues. And then maybe the next kid comes in and it's bankruptcy and boom, business gone. Well, what made it was lost throughout the generations. Here in America, the people who run the country now, every Democrat, all the Republican leadership, business leaders across this nation, really, the leaders of all of our institutions, university leaders, our education system, our media leaders, that we have an infection. And I call it communism because it all comes back to that eventually, what it is. But what we really have, we have no sense of obligation, no sense of duty to America in our institutions anymore. They don't feel that connection. And without that connection, without feeling a duty to America, well, If your eyes aren't focused on something bigger than yourself, where are your eyes going to focus? You. You. We have become a country, I don't want to say a selfish country, because people today are just as selfish as they've always been. It's not like we're some uniquely bad species. But the leaders of our nation now, they only believe in serving themselves, their pocketbook, their power. And because of that, they have all joined forces against us. And I will explain how this ties back to no investigations into Soros and everything else in a moment. Before I get into that, let's do this. Let me tell you about chocolate powder. It's from Chalk, C-H-O-Q, Chalk Lit Powder. Anyway, it's packed full of vitamins and minerals. It tastes good. I pour it in a glass of milk or a smoothie every single morning. My life is so much better when I get nutrition and my diet is atrocious, so I need to get it from other places. I love Chalk because they promote my values, share my values, and they make the highest quality natural herbal supplements I've ever seen. Whatever you're looking for, whether it be male vitality stacks or female vitality stacks or chocolate powder or armor or whatever it may be, go to choq.com and find out what they have. I guarantee they have something that'll make your life better. Choq.com, promo code Jesse gets you a discount on subscriptions, so to get one. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, I like Jefferson Airplane. I like the band, but that song always makes me feel like I'm on drugs. It's a druggy song, isn't it? It's a druggy song. Did I get that from a movie or something like that? Kids, don't do drugs. Anyway, it is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So in case you're just now joining us, we had a question. Why don't red state AGs go after the George Soros types, the funding network behind all these things? So right now, I'm kind of giving a little background describing what we have now, describing the system. We now live in a country where the elites, the people who run institutions, university presidents, media people, government people, all the bureaucracy, they want to loot the treasury. They don't look at America like you look at America. You look at it like this wonderful free country. You're blessed to be here, and that's the right way to look at it. They look at it like a big bank vault, and the door is open. And they know if they work together, they can empty that bank vault. Now they do have a concern. And this concern is the reason they work together. Their concern is you. We do live in a representative republic. We do live in a country where if the people, the norms and normas of the world, if they were to actually wake up and engage, we have so many people. We have so many people who believe what you believe, what I believe. If we were to engage and wade into politics, I'm talking knocking out every local election. I voted locally again on Monday. Did you? If you had one? Anyway, knocking out every local election. School boards starting to take over every institution. If the people engaged and took it back, the people who are looting this country, looting it like a bank vault, they would lose their power. They would be run out of their power. So the people at the top understand that they have to stay together as a team because, to be frank, they're outnumbered. I know we feel surrounded, and in many ways we are institutionally surrounded. They are badly outnumbered by normal people, by good people, and they know it. It's the worst kept secret out there. They know they're outnumbered. That's why everything the quote free Western governments do now is aimed at you, smashing you, silencing you, disarming you. There's a reason they talk more passionately about attacking you than they would ever talk about some foreign organization or some enemy foreign country. For the people who run the West, you are the enemy. But I want you to listen to this. This is the EU president, sounds like a daggone vampire, Ursula von der Leyen. Listen to her. This is how they think.
Of course, like in all democracies, our freedom comes with risks. There will always be those who try to exploit our openness, both from inside and out. There will always be attempts to push us off track, for example, with disinformation and misinformation.
How many times have you heard the term misinformation or disinformation in the last 5-6 years? How many times have you heard? How many? You probably can't even think of all the places. I certainly can't. Why? Why that term? Why do they fall in love with that term? And now you hear it everywhere. You heard it all over the place during COVID. It really ramped up during COVID. Hey, we got to crack down on this misinformation, this disinformation. Remember Biden famously tried to appoint a misinformation czar, that Nina Jankowicz psycho commie, and he got so much pushback on it, he backed out and they discontinued the position. But they actually tried for a misinformation czar. Why? They are desperate to silence you and smash you and fight against you. They are desperate to keep you silent, complacent, quiet, uninvolved. Now, that brings me back to this. Why does no red state AG go after the actual financing network of all these dirty commies? Instead of going on television and whining about anti-Semitism, why don't you destroy the organizational network that supports all these animals? Why don't you do these things? Why don't they? Because the system protects itself, and it protects itself violently if necessary. Don't believe me? Ask Ken Paxton. Ken Paxton almost got bounced from being AG of Texas because he looked in the wrong door. Oh, don't get me wrong. As AG of Texas, he's got all kinds of doors he can look into, and the system won't crack down on him too much. He may get some pushback here or get some pushback there. If you actually start digging in to the House of Cards, the system will react violently and quickly, because they understand if someone starts pulling on those threads, someone starts pulling on those strings, you risk the House of Cards collapsing. What you see out of Republicans when you get surface level crap that doesn't do anything, like an anti-Semitism bill, and you get frustrated and you say, why don't they go deeper? The problem is deeper. Why are we not going after George Soros? Why are we not attacking communist China? Why are we not doing these things? What you're describing is what would actually bring down the House of Cards. And that's the thing these people cannot afford. They are the bank robbers. They're the bank robbery crew. They must stick together to survive the looting of the bank vault. And that's why you don't get anything with teeth out of the GOP, because they're part of the same House of Cards, at least the leadership is. That's why you don't ever get anything with teeth. Now, forget about that for a moment. We have other things. Let's talk about Tunnel to Towers first before we talk about Trump. Someone wants to know what I might see happening with Trump if he gets elected, or what are Democrats going to do. Before we get to that, let's talk about protecting widows and orphans. You know, we are commanded to do that. That is an obligation we have been given. God told us, care for widows and orphans. Tunnel to Towers has made that their mission in a million different ways. They're paying off mortgages for these fallen first responder families, for these Gold Star families. Firefighter dies in the line of duty, Tunnel to Towers is there for his wife, his kids. If it's a catastrophically injured veteran, they're building them a smart home so he who gave up pieces of himself for this country can have a quality of life. That's what Tunnel to Towers does, and they do this with your $11 a month. That's all they ask for. When you sign up and give it automatically, you don't ever think about it. You don't know what's gone. 11 bucks a month. T2T.org. T2T.org. There's the widow and orphans who need you right now. Help them out. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we are digging into all kinds of things right now, and somebody has concerns about Trump winning, meaning what are Democrats going to do if Trump wins? Here's what he says. Hey, he said, dear pink flower. It's not nice. If Trump wins, the nullification of laws and military separation will come from blue states. I think we on the right think the coalition will be of red states. Maybe, but the commies don't contemplate. They act. They take action, he said. It's so true. Expect the blue states to actively accelerate the national divorce, maybe going so far as to seek international support. If Trump wins, the violence will be ramped up to levels we haven't seen, so on and so forth. He said, thoughts, and that's from Matt. Well, I've been thinking about this for quite some time. In fact, I was having a conversation with a couple buddies about this yesterday, about, hey, Trump's, you know, the poll numbers are looking good. Again, you don't bank on poll numbers in friggin' May, but the poll numbers are looking good, and Joe Biden's looking bad, and his approval rating's a disaster. And I mean, you still have to deal with all the cheating they're going to do. You have to deal with trying to win Pennsylvania. You have to not look, it's a coin flip, right? But it looks like it's certainly a possibility that Trump is going to be elected president again. Certainly looks like it's going to be a possibility. And he's not going to go to jail now. Remember, I always thought he was going to go to prison, but the Supreme Court delayed the D.C. thing, and Fannie Willis decided to have an affair with the guy who was investigating Trump. So that thing blew up. That was the one that was going to send him to state prison without parole. I think he's going to avoid prison. So look, there's a chance we're going to have President Trump again, the second coming of President Trump again. And a couple of buddies and I were just discussing, what are they going to do? And we don't want to dwell. You don't want to dwell on that in an election year, right? You don't want to sit and dwell on things like that. Oh, let's just win. We'll work it all out. But it's something worth discussing. For instance, yesterday, in fact, this conversation has been ramping up a lot recently. Trump is apparently really, really digging into this VP thing now. And one of the VP contenders, vice presidential contenders for Trump, is J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance, senator out of Ohio. Now, we have like five good senators. There aren't very many of them. And J.D. Vance is one of them. He's really, really good and really genuine. Before he was a senator, everyone knew that J.D. Vance is a patriot, a man who feels an obligation to this country. You may not agree with him on everything. I don't either. But really, he's one of the good ones. He is. And so the thinking was, hey, if Trump's going to be elected president, then why not grab a America First patriotic vice president to kind of help him out? And I understand that way of thinking. Me personally, I think that is I think it's a huge mistake if Trump picks J.D. Vance. And I say that as a J.D. Vance fan. Why? Donald Trump is going to need help in the Senate. Remember, we just did that long talk on the system and the House of Cards and how you can't really attack the roots of it, or they react violently, they push back, they do this and that. Remember, they impeached Donald Trump because he started looking into Ukraine, to all the money these people were washing through Ukraine. You realize that's where that first impeachment came from. Donald Trump made a phone call and said to Ukraine, hey, I'm hearing a lot of bad stuff about the corruption of American politicians over there. Can you look into that? Boom, impeached. Like that. We talk about the presidency and Trump's got to beat Biden and all these other things. And that's good and fine, good. But it's one thing to get power. It's another thing to use it once you get there. Donald Trump had his first 4 years as president kneecapped by the system itself in so many ways. Now, obviously, I'm not absolving him of any responsibility. His disastrous ability to pick personnel really hurt himself as well. Keeping Jared Kushner right by him making decisions really was a disaster for America First. every horrible decision Trump made, you can trace it back to Jared Kushner. So I'm not excusing Trump from that at all. But the system itself threw roadblocks in front of him, impeached him, wouldn't even let him build the wall. Remember, Trump wanted to build the wall. He didn't end up building that much wall, and it wasn't because he didn't want to. The system wouldn't even let him do it. They just cracked down on him. Now, that was last time. What can we anticipate next time? We are going to need the House of Representatives, and not just having the House with Republicans, because Republicans will impeach him just as fast as Democrats will, at least Republican leadership will. We're going to need as many stalwarts in the Senate as humanly possible. The reaction from the system, if Trump actually is allowed to win the election, and I'm still not totally convinced they're going to even allow that to happen. God forbid they do something, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if they did something. Because Trump keeps going out there and promising a revenge tour. I'm going to do a revenge thing. That's the one thing these people cannot allow. Trump is campaigning on pulling at the threads we just talked about of the system. Firing all these bureaucrats, tackling all this corruption. That's what he's campaigning on. Whether you believe him or not, if they believe him, they get really bad. Could I see a blue state coalition essentially ignoring federal law once Trump is elected? Oh, 100% yes. But this is what I talked about. It's what we've talked about so many times when it comes to national divorce. It's not whether or not I like it or you like it. Your opinion on it or my opinion on it is really not important. I know that we like to feel like what we want is important, but frankly, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. The country, as it's currently constituted, is racing in opposite directions. Whether you want to divorce today, I don't want to be part of this anymore, I want these crazy people on the other side, or whether you think national divorce is unpatriotic and terrible and it'll collapse the country, whatever you think, whatever I think, doesn't matter. We are divorcing. You cannot have a country of 300 plus million people that don't share any common values at all. It's not the average the person listening to the sound of my voice right now in Manhattan doesn't share a thing in common. In general, I'm not talking about people who listen to the show. I shouldn't have said listen to the sound of my voice, but the average citizen listening to me on the great 710 WOR in Manhattan right now doesn't have anything in common at all with the norm who's living in rural Alabama right now. They don't share any common values at all. You cannot have a country of 300 plus million people where you've imported people from all over the world. You didn't make anybody assimilate. The people within your country are attacking it, attacking its foundation. America stands for nothing. It's multicultural. It's evil. It's racist. You can't have that situation and stay together. It's not possible. You must have a common value or you cannot stay together. So that brings us to where we go. I think that if Trump is elected again, I think we will see things that I can't see coming and you don't see coming. The communists, think how they reacted last time. That was an appetizer. The next time, my goodness, it'll be bad. It'll be really bad. And this is why I don't want J.D. Vance as his VP, because Trump is going to need allies in the government. He is going to need allies in the House. He's going to need allies in the Senate. And if he actually does try to drain the swamp, I mean, nothing got drained last time, but if he actually attempts to drain it this time, it'll get really bad. And we need J.D. Vance right where he is. So there's that. Let's talk about Mike Johnson. Let's talk about why are some of these colleges cracking down on the dirty street animals that they themselves nurtured? That's a good question, isn't it? Let's discuss that. Before we get to that, let's discuss making preparations. What kind of preparations? Well, I mean, these people are destroying our dollar. They're attacking the financial institutions. They're attacking the food supply. And look, it's bad. You know it's bad. And it's not going to get better. They're not going to stop spending. They're not going to stop printing. They're not going to stop attacking the food supply. All we can do is prepare. Hope and preparation are two very different things. Hope is not a plan. My Patriot Supply, now that's a plan. They have partnered with the show. They have emergency four-week food kits right now. Four-week emergency food kits, $50 off per kit at preparewithjessekelly.com. Preparewithjessekelly.com. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of Americans prepare. They've been at this since 2008. They know what they're doing. Go. Preparewithjessekelly.com. All right? We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And yes, I am aware of the jobs report. And I mean, what do you want me to say?
April, non-farm payrolls expanded much less than expected, 175,000. We're looking for a number much closer to 250,000. And at least up to this point, in the rearview mirror, 303,000, there are revisions, minus 22,000 for a two-month span.
That's not good. We're missing jobs numbers. That's not good. Whatever. We're moving on. It's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You know what? You know what we need? We need this.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch,
bunch of Fritos. Jesse, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the why. Why the apparent crackdown by communist elites versus the streets on college campuses? What is the purpose slash intended message? Well, the streets are useful. Street communists are extremely useful. In fact, they're necessary when you're having a revolution. What's happening in the United States of America right now is a communist revolution. The destruction of our system, the tearing apart of everything so they can remake it into a communist society where they run everything. That's what we're witnessing. That's what you see all the time. It's all around you. And you need people who are willing to do terrible things if you're going to have a revolution, any kind of a revolution. I've used this example before, but it's a great example. Honestly, it's very perfect for what we're discussing here. It's a lesson for us. It's a lesson for how they think. You've seen that movie, The Patriot, that movie with Mel Gibson. Everyone's seen that movie. He's a patriotic guy, in case you haven't seen it. It's Revolutionary War. He's a super tough fighter. He's killing people. He's scalping people. It's awesome. Anyway, his son is fighting in the war as well, very brave, but much more idealistic. It happens when you're young, much more idealistic. And his dad goes recruiting. He needs new guys to fight in his militia, where they're going to sneak around and shoot British people in the face. And his dad goes recruiting in places like bars. And the guys he's getting are rough around the edges, to put it mildly. They're not young and handsome with perfect teeth, and they don't say yes, ma'am. They're ugly. They're killers. They cuss. Probably wouldn't want them around your wife or your kids. And his son's sitting there talking with him about it. And he says, Dad, I'm paraphrasing here. He says, Dad, these guys are terrible people. These are not the kind of people we need. And his dad looks around at him and looks back at his son. And he says, these are exactly the kind of people we need. When you're having a revolution, you have to have people at your disposal who will do things normal people will not. In the Soviet Union, they opened up the prisons. They said it was about political prisoners, but it was a small percentage of the prison was political prisoners. They insisted that they let all of them out, though. Why would you flood your society with murderers and rapists and all these guys? Why? Because you need people who are willing to do things that normal people aren't willing to do. Street communists have a very important role to play. They need them to kill people, and they have. They need them to hurt people, intimidate people, violence, vandalism. The street commie loser you see out there at the Antifa rally, he serves an important purpose. But always, always, always keep in mind, he's never, ever, ever allowed in power. In the end, he doesn't have any real power because he doesn't have the justice system in his pocket. The justice system is in the pocket of the elites, and they will use that justice system to protect the street animals as long as the street animals are serving their intended purpose. But this has happened in every communist revolution. The street animals you use, well, remember, they're animals. In the end, they're violent. Nutballs, true believers, they think they will get power too. These people, as true believers, out there fighting the revolution in the streets with the Molotov cocktails and the "I hate America" and "death to the Jews" and all the, these people believe in the end they will be the ones sitting at the table making decisions. They're the fighters of the revolution, after all. Surely they'll be rewarded with position of some kind, but they're not. You see, the street animals, they are the useful idiots who've been written about so many times. They're never allowed in power, and they're never allowed to cause problems for the elites. The street communist scum are not allowed to provide or to make life difficult on the elites in any way. Why do you think Jamal Bowman is about to be bounced from power in New York City? Why do you think that is? It's not that his district all of a sudden went Republican. So why would you go to the trouble of putting up a primary challenger, an establishment-backed primary challenger against Jamal Bowman? Well, Jamal Bowman tried to make the transition from being a street animal, which he's been his whole life, to being an elite. And he couldn't do it. He found himself, he's pulling the fire alarm to mess with proceedings. He's out there at all the death to the Jews rallies. He couldn't do it. He created too many problems. So he will be removed. When it comes to the college campuses are the brain center of all the filthy communism you see in this country. They really are detestable, evil places. And they were evil a long time before these protests popped up recently. And yes, they're going to produce revolutionary after revolutionary after revolutionary will graduate from Columbia this year. People who will go on to destroy the country. But what the streets are not allowed to do is mess that up. You don't hold the power at Columbia, you street animals who are probably hate listening to the show. You don't hold the power in America. You don't hold the power in New York. You don't hold actual power anywhere. You're a useful idiot. You're a dog. You're a dog, a junkyard dog who's been trained to attack. And the second all the danger is gone, you'll be taken out and shot like every other junkyard dog is in the end. The street animals are never allowed real power. That's why you're starting to see all of a sudden the cops are welcome on campus and they're arresting people and pepper spraying them. That's why you're seeing what you're seeing. All right, let's talk about Mike Johnson. In fact, someone wants to know about the revolution here. Are we going to have a counter-revolution, a violent one? All that, so much more. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.